Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." When the scriptures are used correctly, the spirit, soul, and body work according to the will of God, as expressed to the church at Philadelphia in Revelation 3. They were examples of true Christ followers. So we invite you to join in the conversation as we dig into the evidence of true Christianity. In the culture that we live in today, Janie, Christianity is used to describe everyone from those with just moral values to those with extreme hate, neither of which defines true Christianity. So there is a skewed perception of Christ because people are simply living in the name of Christianity based on their perception or moral values rather than living in surrender to the person of Jesus Christ.
Sharon, you just said that we're living in the name of Christianity. And Christianity is a system, and it began with being called the Way, followers of Christ. And that was the system, if you want to use that word,
right,
of where people gathered together that were of like-mindedness.
Okay.
But down through the centuries, and beginning shortly after the Lord ascended back into heaven, Christianity took on a form of pollution. And so by the turn of the first century, John had written Revelations 2 and 3 trying to correct Christianity.
Okay, right.
Because we had gone from a system and left the person.
Oh my goodness, Janie.
And
that's exactly what we're doing.
We are worshiping a system.
A system.
And we are given allegiance to something that man has taken with the best that man had to offer, but man got involved.
So that's why we kind of worship our denomination.
And feel an allegiance to it.
Right.
But Christianity, okay, how's the word formed? It's Christ.
Right.
And I can remember decades ago being in a denominational church, and when you spoke of the person of Christ or you spoke of the eternity that we were called to, it's like you had just taken up a foreign language. And they really didn't have time to dwell on that because we had all of our events. We had all of our potluck dinners, and we had to constantly be preparing for the temporal.
The next event.
And who had time for being quiet and concentrating on the eternal? And that's still where we are today.
Or getting to know the person of Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know what, Sharon? It's wonderfully scary to get to know the true and holy and living God. Yeah. It is so awesome that we cannot begin to comprehend. And what we can't comprehend or understand, we have a tendency to put on the back burner. Or we have a tendency to start to fret about our own inadequacies and blame ourselves for not understanding. And you know what, Sharon? Apart from the work of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we will never attain through our own intellect.
Right, right.
And so many times people just choose to finally give up. They grow weary in well-doing. They get frustrated. They get down on themselves. Some even think that they're too simple and silly-minded to ever grasp it.
Right.
Others that I've talked to recently are just so overwhelmed at having supposedly known the Lord, and I believe they truly have accepted Him into their heart, but they don't know where to go from there.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I hear in different avenues is the fact that we know that we have been redeemed out of hell and into heaven by the precious blood of the Lamb that was shed on the cross. And we are told that we are now forever secure.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are told, very, I'm going to choose to say, innocently, that the provisions that God has provided for us between the entrance point and the exit point of our life is just going to have to be filled with failure. We're going to sin every day. We might as well just plan on it. We're going to have a struggle. How does that balance out with when God says He's given you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness now?
Mm-hmm.
Is He two-faced? Is He twisted tongue?
Right.
Or is it that we have applied our own maybe desires, motive, understanding to how to live?
Well, Janie, I think it's a tool of the enemy in deception, because what happens is the way that we understand Christianity to be in learning from the beginning is the foundation in which we build our relationship with God. And so when we understand Christianity to be just this moral life, we don't have to surrender to God. We can sin every day, and it's not a big deal.
You know, you've brought out an excellent point, and let's just stop for a second and give a solution right here and now.
Okay.
All right. If we will take our Bibles, which is God's Word, where He expresses that He is holy and true,
mm-hmm.
and we will go over to the books of the Bible, the letters that Paul wrote, and when he started to write his letters, he had a consistent way that he did it. And I'm just going to start with Romans. Romans, he starts to lay down a foundation. And the whole foundation is how God has structured His way versus how man has structured his interpretation mm-hmm. of God's way.
Okay.
And God is bringing the balance in. This is consistent through Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And that is, he always opens up his letters with establishing who God said He is.
Okay.
He gives you a foundation so that when he goes in to give you the application of how he wants you to live, you've got a structure, you've got a standard.
You've got the foundation.
Yes.
Okay.
And yet, Sharon, until we have a hunger to learn the person, do you know his attributes can sound a little boring if we don't understand what it means to have been adopted into his family?
Right.
What it cost him.
Mm-hmm.
How he has given us precious promises for everything that we need right now on how to live. But how we take those promises and the steps and we turn them upside down.
Well, you know, Janie, that same structure that you're talking about that Paul gave in all of his letters is the same structure that the Lord Jesus wrote the letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. When we look at Philadelphia, the first thing that he says to them is who he is.
Good point.
But when we go back over all the other churches, that's exactly what he does in every single letter. He tells them who he is first.
And that is in light of what they're going to need to correct.
Okay.
And then after he has established who he is, because he is our all in all, he then goes in and shows them where the lack is.
Okay.
And then he doesn't leave us frustrated or hopeless. He tells us what the need is to make the correction. And it begins with the word repentance. Philadelphia is really the only church that didn't have to hear, you need to repent.
I noticed that.
Now, the church at Smyrna was suffering, so he just said, I'll put no other burden on you because you're handling all you can handle being an earthbound creature in these seasons of suffering. But everybody else needs to repent.
They still all had to have ears to hear, though, Janie. Whether they were commanded to repent or not, they still needed to have ears to hear.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a loaded question. What does it take to have ears to hear and be willing to repent?
To know God. It takes knowing Him. When you know Him, then that's when the willingness comes.
And what if you don't want to take the discipline to know Him? Because don't you understand, ladies, I am so busy serving Him and making sure we're getting the truth, I just don't have the time to just be casually quiet and be still before Him.
I would say resign from your serving.
Oh, so it's really more important to know Him before you can effectually serve Him.
That's an amen. And I learned that from experience.
And that experience was first failure, or was it just a successful experience?
Well, Janie, I had confused my service with God in knowing God. I thought because I served Him, He was number one in my life, when truly He wasn't number one. Serving was number one in my life.
And we have been schooled, and I'm not criticizing anybody, that to serve is to be accepted. And we all want to be accepted.
Well, and service is physical. So when we are talking about your service to the Lord in Romans 12, because it's your reasonable service, right? We apply that physically, when really it's a spiritual application. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yes, and you know what you're describing? You're describing a different spirit that was alive at the church at Philadelphia. But you are also describing an example from the Old Testament with the servant that served named Caleb. Mm. But in Numbers 14, in fact, I think it's verse 24, it says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully.
Oh, wow.
I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. So what was the different spirit that Caleb had? He had a wholeheartedness. He was not half-hearted. He was not divided in his purpose. He didn't want to get the people out of bondage and into freedom while he planned some special concerts.
Right, right.
While he decided that we would do some touring of the land and enjoy the beauty that God had created.
Right.
No, he was focused. He was listening to what the Spirit had to say was a priority.
And you know, the Lord honored Caleb on an individual basis. He was different than the rest of the congregation. And we kind of see that with the Church of Philadelphia, that the Lord speaks to them on an individual basis, that there are Christians there in that congregation of believers that had not denied His name, His character, His authority. And that goes back to the person of Jesus Christ.
So let's just go back to Revelation 3 and verse 8.
Okay.
And in doing so, the Lord acknowledges that He knows the works that they are doing. They are works that are based on His character of being true and being holy. And because of that, He says that He's going to give the Church of Philadelphia an open door that no man can shut. This is another way of saying that He is going to let their ministry, that they are choosing to do prevail because it is works of righteousness.
Okay.
And then he says that you have kept my word. And to keep his word means we can't deny his word, because when we do, we deny his character.
Right.
We deny the calling that he has for us.
We deny who he is.
That's right.
Okay.
And so really keeping his word is simply meaning having honest subjection to all that he has said. And then whatever he has given us, we realize that it is important for us to maintain. And then we are challenged with the discipline of living the way that he has called us to be true to his name.
Right.
So our lives should reflect the character of who he is, because we are the living testimony.
Well, we can't do that if we don't know the person of Jesus Christ. So to be a true Christian, what true Christianity means is a Christ follower in the character and authority of who he is.
Well, and here is a subtle way that I have heard, and perhaps we've done it ourselves, Sharon, that we can deny him in thinking and reacting according to our flesh patterns of our own earthly ways, and then defending our flesh patterns.
Mm.
I'm right on this point.
Right.
And we'll argue it. We'll separate ourselves from others when the Lord has said, I want you to be one body with me as a head,
right.
And I am wanting unity according to the way God has described unity, and we are to have harmony, and we don't realize that we are denying the name of Jesus Christ when we go to our own understanding in defending what we think is right in the way that we're doing. So what happens? The Lord has to allow issues in our life to humble us.
Yeah.
And the best book that we always need to read on that is just to go back to James. If you're battling some issues and you are defending those issues. Mm. And Sharon, here's an important point to bring out. Wherever we started to learn and establish our foundation in the Word of God and who God is and who we are in Him, we don't always have the full thought, and we will take what we do have and then we'll hang to it as the Lord wants to move us on. We are not static beings.
Right, okay.
God is static. He changes not. But we better be dynamic beings, constantly changing, because that's why we grow in grace and knowledge.
Amen.
We are constantly changing as we learn more. And you know what, Sharon? It's very hard to unlearn something that we have ever had security in.
Right. That's so true.
I recently heard about a person who knew how to walk until they had a wreck and their spine was severed and they could no longer walk. And they felt like their body had died. It could not functionally as it had learned to do.
Okay.
And Sharon, they had to have a time of grieving.
For the loss
for
of
the
their
loss.
Legs. Okay.
All right. And in grieving for the loss, you can give up, go into depression, deny everything that Jesus Christ has given to you, because we are spirit beings first, and we can continue to walk, even though we have to learn how to walk again, perhaps, in victory when we recognize that our life is not tied up in just our physical being.
Right.
And so many times we claim scripture for our physical.
While denying it for everything else.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is grievous to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's grievous to us, because when things don't go the way we think they ought to, it becomes a stumbling block that keeps us from a relationship, a true relationship with Jesus Christ.
And then the possibility of Matthew 7 can come up in our life at the end. And that is that the Lord said, you spend all your time doing great deeds for me and doing them in your own strength, with your own motive, on your own will. You never accepted me as your absolute source of life. Mm. So depart from me. I never knew you. But it will be too late at that point to reconsider and say, oh, I didn't realize how blind we were.
Right.
And we're so sorry, we repent, but it will be too late. And that's why the Lord is telling the churches right now, repent.
Repent.
Get your eyes open. Don't be living according to your own understanding.
Well, you know, Janie, I think, you know, in light of that, Matthew 7, for us to stop right now and say, Father, show me where I'm blind. Am I blind in the service that I do for you? Am I doing that in my own strength? Am I doing that in my own power? Do I do that for recognition? What's the intent of my heart? Is it because I feel trapped and if I don't do that, what people will say? Do I have a performance-based acceptance mindset that I have to do these things or else no one will like me, or I won't have my friends, or whatever the case may be? I can't give that up because of how it makes me look. It makes me look holy. It makes me look right. It makes me look true. Lord, knock down any pride that is keeping me from humbling myself before you and saying, Father, please show me my blindness and let me repent.
And he has guaranteed us that if we will pray what you have just said from your heart, he is bound by his own word to answer that prayer.
Mm.
But Sharon, I see many people suffering today that may be suffering needlessly. And in Hebrews 12, where the Lord is telling the people, grow up and not remain childish, he says that once more, he is going to have to shake everything that is shakable. So what is not shakable may remain and produce the fruit of its intended purpose. That primarily is talking about a time of severe testing that will come upon the earth. But Sharon, that application can also have a meaning today. And is the Lord needing to get our attention through robbing us of some of the temporal things we take for granted?
Yeah.
And he's had to do that by allowing our natural body deterioration to be made known. And we're just trying to get that body fixed in the temple again and we'll be fine. And the spirit is never addressed except through perplexity, depression, discouragement, disillusionment, all of which is a work of the enemy wanting to destroy while the Lord is wanting to allow it to happen for a purpose, not to destroy, but to build up.
Yeah.
But when we listen to the enemy, then we take even a difficult purpose that the Lord is allowing and we allow the enemy to gain ground. And that is not the church at Philadelphia.
And you know, Janie, the purpose of Christianity is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything that he did on the cross to bring us into a relationship with God the Father through his sacrifice. And that's what true Christianity is all about, is being able to go into the Holy of Holies with him, to have that communion with him, and to spend time with him. That's our service. That's our service, is to spend time with him, to be with him, to love him and let him love us. And the rest, those are all perks. But true Christianity, we've got to get away from the system. No, full surrender to the person of Jesus Christ, his character, his authority. That's true Christianity. And that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.